Welcome, everybody. Are we on?
I think so.
We are early today, just for you.
Just in the nick of earliness.
Wait.
What's that?
Fuck, we're late. Shit. Well, we're going to split the difference. We're just going to call it on time.
Is that what the chat
said? To make up for it, we're going to end early. Yeah, I think that's how that works.
I like it.
I haven't read up about that, but
we're doing, it's called Sean time.
Yeah, as you can see.
You start late, you end early, and then you say, well, it's basically full length. And you say it in that tone, and nobody can argue with you.
That kind of energy behind it. As you can see, Sean's not here this week.
Yeah.
And you know what happens when you're not here?
You get made fun of.
You get fucked with.
That's why I'm always here. That's why I never go away, because I can't stand the thought of you guys talking shit about me behind my back.
Yeah.
That's also why I can't stop talking shit when people aren't
true.
Here. It goes both ways.
That's how we keep the band together.
Yeah. Totally.
Unlike Metallica going to therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck those guys. Metallica's old. Hey, you know what's funny about Metallica? I'm glad you brought that up. Metallica they've been playing concerts lately.
Right.
And, famously, their bass player died, Cliff.
Yeah.
And Cliff wrote this guitar riff, this song called Anesthesia.
Right. And it's just no vocals, whatever.
Yeah. And so they played with this big symphony, and they played Anesthesia as a symphony.
Oh, as a tribute to him.
As a tribute. And all these people were saying, that's the most beautiful tribute. They had a symphony play.
His parents were there. Yeah.
And I saw that, and I just saw, that's fucking stupid.
Oh, come on.
Hear me out.
Okay.
I'm sure if you're a fan of Cliff, you think, oh, that's so beautiful. They had a symphony play his bass song.
His song.
They played his song with a symphony. But I'm thinking creator's mindset. Hear me out.
Okay.
Let's say I died, and 30 years from now, you're doing a tribute to Mega 64, and you have Daniel Day-Lewis do the Parappa the Rappa rap.
Right.
Is that a fucking beautiful tribute to me? Touched my shirt. I'm so glad it didn't hurt.
That's not a good example, because I know from The Great Beyond you'd be getting a huge kick out of it.
People would be crying, just be like, this is how Derek always wanted it. No, I'm going to say right here, right now, that's not a tribute to me.
What do you want? You want it to be miserable?
A more important piece? Want? Like a better work of art from your catalog? What would you like?
I would think it was funny, but from Beyond the Grave, I wouldn't want people being like, that's so beautiful. This just makes the memory of Derek so good. I'm up there being like, what a crock of shit.
I bet Cliff fans were like, this is fucking brutal.
Poor Daniel Day.
It made me cry.
I do. I'm different. I will say I differ from Derek. I want my funeral to be like that. I do want Daniel Day-Lewis doing Ignacio, Yo, what's up? It's your boy Ignacio, a.k.a. X, a.k.a. Divine Possibilities. Today, I'm going to show you the GDC show floor. Something like that.
Some real...
Okay.
I do want
deep,
that. So
that's the tribute.
Pretentious.
Real method
just,
shit.
Yeah, go all out for me. Derek, throw him in a box.
Yeah.
Pine box.
That sounds fair.
Yeah.
Make a bunch of, the youth of America... I'm all about the people. I'm the people's champion. Make the youth of America do the Parappa the Rappa rap. Sing that in school instead of the Pledge of Allegiance. You do the whole Parappa rap.
You're like an everyman kind
of. A choir of children. Validate parking for my car so I can drive real far.
Right.
That's a tribute to me.
Nice.
I'm all about the kids.
So yeah, everyone, have the kids celebrate Derek's death. Have the world's greatest actors celebrate my death. Sean, he's already dead
inside.
Yeah. So don't celebrate.
And so many fucking birthdays this month.
Totally. And to answer the question on the tip of everybody's tongue out there, I know everybody's watching this being like, why isn't Sean here? What's he doing that's so important? I'll let you know. Nothing. He's just lazy. He's at home.
Chilling.
Yeah. In bed with his feet up, sipping on a hot cup of ginkgo biloba.
It's probably on a switch.
Taking photographs of the ceiling architecture, listening to the Decemberists.
Yeah.
Sean, if you're editing this on Tuesday, play a Decemberist song and show off some of the photos of the ceiling that you took while you were sipping tea.
Yeah, you know what? We'll go to the theme song. We'll let him do his own theme song with all of the stuff he likes.
Yeah, edited some photos of the ceiling that you took.
Yeah, all photos of the ceiling. Good ones, though, not bad ones. Theme song.
I'm a lonely horseman. got my pistol. I'm just trying to be somebody besides a lonely horseman. Got my gun at my side. I'm just trying to be a lonely horseman.
And we're back.
I don't think there was any audio for that theme song that they just got played.
It's like a more of a representation.
Well, hey, we left it open for the Decemberists.
Yeah. Sean wasn't here to add the Decemberists, so that's completely on them. And I want to say Sean dropped the ball and
abandoned his post
this week. Kevin is not here either.
Again, another.
Kevin is on vacation. He wouldn't even tell us where he went. Bermuda. Barbados.
I think it's behind enemy lines, I think. He's a fucking Benedict Arnold, he is.
Yeah, he's doing this overseas shit. I'm not going to get into why.
He went to Iraq? What?
Yeah.
Behind enemy lines.
Well.
He's doing Rambo shit?
All I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to, Hamza bin Laden is dead. Did you hear about that?
I heard about that. And Kevin was gone.
And that's enough said.
Fuck. Oh.
And that's enough said.
Dude, I just put it together.
Who's Hamza bin Laden?
His son.
What?
Hamza. Yeah.
You know Hamza.
Hamza, dude.
First of all, this is my first time I'm hearing about Hamza, and he's already dead.
Yeah,
what the fuck?
He's a bad dude.
What? Give me a chance to determine that. I didn't even get a chance to talk to the dude.
You know what got
That's
rid
how
of him?
I feel
a
what
good
the fuck?
A good dude with a gun.
Did they shoot him? Did they shoot
how
Hamza?
How do you get rid of a bin Laden? Of course you shoot him.
God!
That's the only weakness.
God,
it's like
damn it.
Yeah. It's like a silver
you
bullet.
You didn't even
to a
let
werewolf.
Him die of natural causes. What happened to life, liberty, and death?
Yeah.
Our life, liberty, pursuit of happiness.
They
replaced it with death.
This is controversial, but you know, this whole thing with Hamza bin Laden is an example of cancel culture is just going too far. You know? I don't even know what the guy thought or what he was all about.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. What was your name? Hamza. No. Full name. Hamza bin Laden.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Stay right there.
Boom, 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 boom.
Hey. Hey, Larry. I have that AK. Bring that in here. Yeah. Okay. Hamza, stand right there. Yeah. And that's enough said.
That sucks. Imagine being shot because your dad's an asshole. We'd all be dead.
True.
We'd all be...
No, true. I'd actually... No,
we'd all be Hamzas.
I'd survive.
Everyone's dad has had a dad moment.
Well, in Rocco's case, it'd be imagine being shot because your kid's an asshole, and then your dad would be dead, but...
Can you imagine?
Yeah. I think my dad lives in more fear of...
Everyone's dad's had a moment, but could you imagine referring to 9/11 as a dad moment?
Everyone has them.
What do you mean? Oh, because your Hamza bin Laden?
Because you're Hamza, and you're like, it was my fucking dad. Yeah. He had a moment.
But you've
Hamza, how do you account for the crimes of 9/11? That was my fucking dad. Stupid shit my dad does. I have a Twitter about it.
Then Kevin shows up and draws first blood. Fuck.
Everyone's had their dad do something embarrassing enough that it was their 9/11, basically.
Okay, yeah. True.
So, like it's all identifiable.
Embarrassing stuff.
Plus, Bush did 9/11. I'm going to say it. We shot the wrong guy.
Bold stance.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Get one of the... He has daughters, so... Can't shoot them. The gender thing, equality.
That's not allowed.
Fuck.
And on American soil, so you have to get them traveling out of country.
Yeah, Bush.
That ain't happening.
He didn't
anymore.
Have a son. He outsmarted us all. Anyways,
this sucks. Now I'm off to a bad. I felt good about everything in the world,
but
until
then Hamza's persecution brought you down.
Yeah.
Why did 9/11 have to happen? Yeah. It's ruined. It's bringing down this podcast. It's just hitting me now. Bad idea.
Yeah.
Bad juju.
Bad idea. Yeah, bad vibes.
Shouldn't have done it.
Bitch, don't kill my vibes. Kendrick Lamar, I feel that song right now.
Well, let's bring it back up with a little Kendrick.
I can feel your energy from two towers away. You got the planes. I got the charges.
No, Kendrick was a tribute.
Yeah. Kendrick knows the real America. This is America. Love Kendrick.
Hell.
my favorite track of the past year is definitely when Lil B put out a new mixtape.
Yeah.
Where he just rapped over This Is America.
Totally.
And the track is This Is the Bass God. Like he's just yelling over the music. This is the bass God. I'm going to fuck your bitch or something like that.
Yeah.
He says something.
Well, you know, when he feels inspiration, Lil B exudes pure love. And if he wants That beat, he's getting that beat.
I just got a Facebook reminder today of that time Lil B said shots out Mega 64.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
How many years ago?
We're so
was
rich
that?
And famous, we forgot that wow. Lil B praised us.
Yeah.
That happens. True. That's like every day.
That's like an anti
curse. That is true. We have so much money that we forgot that that had happened.
Yeah. Dr. Dre, you know, Lil B, whoever.
Shouts out.
Lil B put out another new mixtape just
how lucky
like
are
few,
we?
A few days ago. And it was called, my brother showed it to me. It's called Hunchback of Bass God.
Yeah, I saw that album
art. It almost has like a Disney-themed album cover where it's a painting of him as the Hunchback. And Hunchback of Bass God is in like Disney font.
That's cool.
And
he's doing my Mario Maker promotional tactics where you take a famous movie poster and then you just MS Paint your own words and pictures into it.
Are you going to bring up the titling of this album?
Oh, no. I was really stuck on this because I kept thinking about it. I'm like, what seems wrong about that title? And I'm like, it isn't Bass God of Notre Dame.
No.
It's Hunchback of Bass God.
It's so avant-garde that it's the opposite of making sense.
Yeah. But then, you know, Lil B is a true artist.
You
so
can't.
I didn't want to.
You can't.
I didn't want to get in the way of that.
You can't question a true artist.
But anyway.
That's why you shouldn't question anything you hear tonight on the Mega 64 podcast.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about leaving our legacy out. And I think right here, right now, this is part of my legacy.
Yeah. This is true art.
My art that I'm leaving here for the masses. Yeah. This will be gone long after I'm, you know, dust.
It will be gone.
Well, it'll be here. It'll be archived.
It'll be here.
I'll be gone.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder, like, you know, after we die, will these podcasts be watched by future generations and they'll say, like, this is what it was like in 2019?
I think the
time capsule.
The appeal of
time shuttle.
The time shuttle. Get in.
The appeal of streaming and broadcasting your own production, I think will wear off in another couple of years. Then everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah. People wanted to be YouTubers.
What's going to be cool
is we're at the forefront.
I'll be 60. Fuck it. I'll live longer than that. I'll be 100, right?
There you go.
100 years old.
There you go.
It's the year 2085. And I'll be able to look back and see videos from when I was 17 years old all the way up to being 100. My whole life will be captured in these weekly increments.
If you keep going, we can't stop.
Yeah. That'll be cool.
Is that a thought that ever enters your brain? We can't stop?
No, the thought is more like, when do we get to stop? Like, how many more of these do I have to do before I've paid my debt?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Rocco's getting real, you know, thinking about that.
Am I asking the big questions?
Okay, real talk. It's Halloween time and horror movies, you know, it's season for horror movies. And I was looking through the internet and I found this picture of young Bela Lugosi. You know, Bela Lugosi played Dracula in the 20s. Young Bela Lugosi, he was a sexy motherfucker, dude. This guy was hot. He was young. And I was like, dude, I always imagined him like old Dracula.
Mina.
Yeah, he made Dracula when he was like in his 50s.
Right. He was an old creepy dude then.
Yeah. And apparently Bela Lugosi was born in 1882.
Wow.
Which made me think like, oh, I was born in 1985, you know, 1882, 1985. They're both the 80s of their century. So I was looking at Bela Lugosi thinking like, okay, when did that Dracula movie come out? It was like 1929, early 30s or something like that. We haven't even gotten to that point. Like, if I'm Bela Lugosi living the Bela Lugosi lifestyle, I'm like a decade and a half out from the big hit.
Yeah,
my own Dracula. And then Bela Lugosi, I think, lived into the 1950s, which made me think, like, okay, am I only going to make it into the 2050s? I always like to do this weird math.
Yeah, you know?
And then I have this thought of, like, how long, really? How long am I going to last? Am I going to make it to 2060 something, 2070.
How do like medical enhancements, technology enhancements?
If I make it to the year 2085, that's 100 years.
Oof.
I don't think I'm making it to 2100. But maybe you never know. You never know.
Technology, you never know. I
turn you into Grievous.
Derek, you I would say get sick the least of anybody here. I think you will live maybe a lot longer than most people here.
I think that.
There was a time I thought Sean would outlive us all.
No way. I no longer think that.
No. His genes.
He's going to be the first to go.
Sean is in Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, his genes are breaking down.
Where he's...
He sipped from the wrong cup.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got nano machines. His children gave him nanomachines that are speeding him.
Now it's fox dye all over again.
Yeah.
His children said, this is the cup of Christ. And he's like, okay. And it wasn't the one that makes you age in 30 seconds, but it's a slower version of that.
It just makes your beard gray first, and then it starts causing back problems.
Yeah. I think
moaning.
I think in terms of myself, I've never really had any health problems. Like, I feel the same. I feel better than I did, like, 10 years ago or whatever. I feel better than ever. But I feel like when I do something dumb, I do something really fucking dumb. So I think I'll die. I don't think I'll live super long. I think I'll do something where it was... I think I'll die of something completely, like...
An accident?
Or just something like, why did he... Oh, why did he eat that? That's like instant death.
Well...
Oh, yeah, he should have done that.
Here's
what an idiot.
The caveat. What I think will be special about Rocco's death, I think it'll happen on camera. So I think, you know, there's going to be a Christmas cast where we go too far and, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't want chicken bone.
Yeah, I don't want our reaction on
accidental
camera.
Like, oh, that was snake venom that you drank. What?
Yeah, it's going to be something weird like that. I've always thought that.
Yeah, I think we'll capture it on camera. Either you or Doc Ryan will die on camera at a Christmas cast.
That's cool, though.
Food related. Food
influence
related.
What a way to go, though. Like, what a badass Christmas cast, though, right?
Right. That's a good... Hopefully it gets numbers.
Yeah, like you... Yeah, hopefully... I better do endgame numbers. If I die on the Christmas cast, it better do endgame numbers.
We better sell some fucking sponsorship out the ass after that. I mean...
Yeah.
If we get Rocco's death caught on tape, like real death caught on tape...
Like, damn, what a show. Brought to you by Loot Crate.
Yeah.
Right?
That's going to be the sad
part,
too.
And then they'll die, too.
Right. It's going to be our most in-demand show, and fucking Twitch is going to take it down. YouTube's going to demonetize that
shit. Yeah, they're going to try to get their mitts on it.
Ooh, a guy died on camera. Yeah, that's the part of the show
this
that people want to see.
Yeah.
They're gonna fuck up our plan.
You're gonna fucking step on his crescendo, his best bit, his final closing act. You're gonna chop it off early.
If Twitch does throw a fit, if they ban if I die on stream, make the promise to me now. Go back to Stick'Em.
Okay,
I'm going back to Stick'Em.
I can guarantee
Stick'Em would let us show the real death caught on tape.
Get out of here with that shit.
Yeah, Stick'Em is cool. They're gonna be all about it.
They rock. Stick'Em slaps. Stick'Em rips.
This Friday was Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And it was a full moon. And I had a thought flash through my mind of, well, if I accidentally kill myself, it would be tonight while changing my oil in darkness. And the jack stand would fall on and crush me.
Is that what you were doing?
I was.
Oh, okay.
And I had this thought.
Okay, that was a random thought.
As I'm jacking my truck up into the air and I'm crawling under it, and I've placed a second jack stand for safety next to the jack, and I'm like, well, I mean, it's a full moon. It's Friday the 13th. It's dark out. Like, this is all signs are pointing to if I go Anton Yelchin style.
Oh. Yeah,
I mean,
RIP. I forgot that he went that way.
But
that's so lame.
I think about that all the time, and I'm like, man, I don't want to go on accident.
What? He got pinned behind a car that didn't have the parking brake on?
I think he was doing something on his vehicle.
Yeah.
Either parking it or reparking it, and something with the parking brake wasn't functioning
properly.
For whatever reason, he was smashed.
He was drunk.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I think he got pinned between a car and a wall.
I thought he was like by his mailbox. Like he got out of the car to get it or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Either way, it doesn't matter. It sucked.
So I think about that, and I thought, I said, "Fuck, not tonight, Satan. I'm crawling out from this."
I guess I must have just assumed he was under the influence, because how do you get taken out by a car with nobody in it?
I think freak accidents.
I think the brake went out.
Freak
or something.
Accidents.
Yeah, I thought
happen.
It was the parking brake broke.
I've done that before, where I get out to get my mail and I've left the car in drive, but set the emergency brake, which is my routine. But then I get back in and I realize, like, oh shit, I'm parked. I'm not even parked. I'm in drive on a fucking hill.
Do you think when Anton Yelchin woke up that day, he had a thought like, maybe today will be the day I die?
I mean, I had that thought, and then it didn't happen. So I don't think you can. I think if you think about it, you're guaranteed to live
another
night.
Lisa Left Eye Lopez, before she died, was she telling friends, like, I feel like death is following me.
Premonition, dude.
Yeah, she had a feeling she was going to die soon, and then she did.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Left Eye. Well, it's the spooky season. It's
Final Destination. They should make a whole Final Destination movie about Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
My grandma, before she passed, was kind of doing, like, the last time I saw her, like, when I was leaving.
Really?
Like, she never, she wasn't having, like, I mean, health issues that we knew about. I mean, she wasn't, like, going, you know, was in the hospital or anything. No history of that. Again, as far as we know on our side, perfectly good. And she, yeah, the last time that I saw her, like, we visited her house. And then as I was leaving, she's like, don't ever worry about me. If I'm ever gone, don't worry about me. Like, she was saying stuff like that. And it was like, okay. And then, yeah, that was it. That was the last time I saw her. It was like, so, she, you know, she could have felt something. Who knows? Well, but
here's another metaphysical question I'll pose.
Okay.
I've thought about if there's an ability when you get so old and so kind of teetering on the edge, can you just kind of will yourself to die?
I have often wondered, not even like being old, but is it physically possible to will yourself
if
to
you're
death?
Near, like if you're critically injured and you're like, can't, you know, they say in TVs and movies and stuff, let go, you know, let go. And then the person lets go. Mm-hmm. If you're really old or really terminal.
Not even old or terminal. Like, can you meditate to the point?
With shit, yeah.
Like, can you be a Buddhist who's like, all right, I'm over this shit. I'm checking
out this bitch.
And then you just meditate to the point where you
take yourself out the game.
Yeah. Yeah. People in the chat are talking about how Buddhist monks have done, say they've done that.
Buddhist monks have meditated self-death.
And I'm not talking about holding your breath or swallowing your tongue or
just expiring
or finding a way to self-death. I'm talking you close your eyes and you think I'm done and you turn off. Heart stops beating.
Maybe, you know, you've been around here for so long, you know, when you get up to 89, 90 years that you're like tuned in.
Padme did it in Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, shit.
And everyone clowned on it. They were like, shit. Oh, medically, she checks out, but she lost her will to live. And everyone clowned on it and made fun of it. George Lucas, like, read up on that shit.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, no, this is not impossible. And also, it's a fictional fucking universe, so...
So she
can die. She'll die how I want her to die. Well, thank you.
If we're going to play the Star Wars card, that's what happened to Princess Leia's moms. Princess Leia's mom.
Yeah, in all honesty... In all honesty, remember Carrie Fisher passed and her mom a day or two later.
Debbie Reynolds is like, I miss Carrie.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. I have learned one thing over the course of years. If I could impart any wisdom at all that anyone could even call wisdom, because Lord knows there's not much I have that you could call that. But
yeah.
The power of the mind.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, the power of the mind has so much of a hold on so many things. And you know what? I'm going to say this about Sean, and I'm sure he's watching this when he edits this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying this as an insult. I want him to hear this and learn from it.
Yeah.
You know, so often I see Sean will be frustrated about something or he'll, you know how Sean can get. You know,
like
things will chip away. You know, yeah, he'll have
that. Yeah, that's
whatever.
That Sean energy.
Yeah. And he'll have that aura of
Sean Dragon Blast.
Yeah, and then he'll ask how my day was, and I'll be like, yo, I play Nintendo, you know, whatever. Now, obviously, we have very different lives.
Not really, but I know what you mean.
The same life, but, you know, whatever. But because I make sure that my mind at any given point is not at defeat, I get very frustrated by things, don't get me wrong, but I always try to... stay, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Everything is just flowing. It's okay. You don't have to yell fuck, you know, which Sean has done.
I've done though.
I don't
too.
Know if he's canceled or what, but he's yelled it.
Yeah. We've all yelled fuck.
You know how
I know what it's like to raise kids and I just don't get stressed.
This is why I will live longer than everybody else here.
Ah, the Zen.
You know how in a house, if you turn on the TV, the microwave, the air conditioning, all the computers, after a while, everything just shuts off.
Yeah.
You flip a circuit breaker and you lose power.
Yeah. All that happens to me a lot.
I have that mentally.
Yeah.
If stuff starts to get too bad, I flip the breakers. I like, fuck this. Nothing. I hit a certain point where like I stress out and then it just gets, I don't give a fuck anymore. Yeah. I'm going home. And I just let things go. Like I have a certain stress threshold. And once my breaker flips, I no longer give a fuck. I'm not going to be upset about this. I don't care.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. I missed a flight to go, you know, act in a thing that we were all like cast to do. And I was stressing out about it. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to go home and have a nice day.
And, you know, that was another one. That's a perfect example because Sean was really freaking out during that. And
for Derek.
And understandably, this is not a Sean diss. This is not a Sean diss.
Well, he's a caring guy.
It was perfectly logical to be stressed once when you missed your flight. He was really concerned for you.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing. But I was in the same... Derek, that is one thing you and I have in common. We reach a certain point and we go,
that's it.
What can be done? Like, I'm going with the flow at this point, you know? And so once that happened to you, I was in the same boat. I was like, the day's going on. Like, we have to, we're going to figure something out or we won't. It's not life and death. But, I mean, as much as it sucks, we're going to try to solve it. And if it doesn't get solved, we did.
It was almost immediate. You know? They're like, you're not going to make it to your flight. And this little thing went off in my brain like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. And then I was like, there'll be an hour where people are going to be texting me and we're going to pretend to figure this out. But you know what? Right now, I'm not planning on being on this flight because they told me I missed it. Yeah. And if you don't have the circuit breaker installed in your house, what happens? The house will burn down.
Yeah.
Fire.
An electrical fire will break out if you don't have the circuit breaker thrown.
You're pulling when you too get much amperage through the mental synapses and one's going to burst. That's what you call an aneurysm.
Yeah. So some people have the house fire syndrome. I am well protected circuit breaker syndrome.
Yeah. So I'm the same way. And I brought this up many years ago. But just want to say real briefly, the turning point for me in life when I realized that I was like that or had to think that way, whatever, was I always say to myself Arabic graffiti, because that was when we were working on version one.
I was there for that.
We were about to premiere our last episode in front of a bunch of our friends. Nothing was working. Everyone was literally sitting in my living room, and the episode was still exporting.
Oh, I remember those things
to play, and it was like everything that could go wrong went wrong, and it was like, you gotta be fucking careful. I mean, I was in the editing room just like freaking out, like what the fuck. Stressing out so bad, and then I'm watching it export to a tape because it used to be analog. You'd have to watch the whole thing in real time to go to a DV tape.
DV.
And I waited, and it was finally at the end of the episode, and it's like, dude, the whole thing worked. Thank God. This fucking thing was broken this whole time, but it's working now. Okay. And it got to the last frame of the – or the last part.
Yeah, if you know how version one ends, it ends with da-na-na-na. And it says our logo.
Yeah, our logo flashes. Bam, bam. Yeah, the logo, big. Mega 64. And it got, the whole episode worked fine, and then it got to where the logo should be, and something, the font or something got screwed up on that computer to where it looked, it was like something in Arabic spray painted.
It was like Aladdin font.
Yeah. It was not English. Like it just looked like Arabic
Mega 64,
graffiti,
my friend.
And it hit that and everyone looked at me just like, but at that point it was like, this is the fucking funniest thing. Like,
it's funny.
Like,
then.
Hey, how much more could I be stressed out? This is so fucking stupid.
I think I remember talking to you after that, and maybe you were a little upset, but I think I said, like, hey, at this point, like, God is fucking with us.
And you can't. What can you do?
In life, honestly, sometimes in life, it gets to a point where there's no explanation other than a higher being is fucking with you. And you're not going to win that situation.
Yeah.
So just accept, like, just go with it. Yeah. Like, you've been outdone at that point.
And so at that point, I just laughed about it, and we watched the episode, and it got to that point, and it was hilarious.
Life has you beat.
Yeah. So just laugh along and go for the ride.
Go with
the
flow.
Anyway, whatever. So at that point, I was very different after that point in life. So I'm saying, Sean, if you're watching this on Tuesday, go with the flow.
Find your epiphany.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure right now, I mean, in all seriousness, you know, Sean has been putting a lot of stuff together on his own. There are a lot of stressful things for him this month. Sean, I'm telling you, go with the flow. You made it this far.
Yeah.
We've been doing this thing for 16 solid years, and you haven't fucked up yet. Okay, so quit worrying that you're gonna fuck up. Okay, you're not. You're already kind of fucked up.
We're pros,
but go with it.
We turn our fuck ups into, you know, panache, yeah. Style, flair. Puts your spin.
We
make
on lemonade.
Right.
Short of somebody dying, who fucking cares? Something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Everybody's still alive. Yeah. All right, let's keep going.
Mm-hmm. Moments like that happened too. Like we did our Anime Expo panel.
Right.
And I remember the earthquake happened. I mean, and this is, by the way, not to turn this into a shitty plug, but the Anime Expo panel is on our Patreon now.
Just went anybody, up.
You can watch the video from that day. It started with an earthquake. We started the panel. There was an earthquake. And then they came back to say, like, do you want to... I mean, it was all fine. Everything was safe. But they were like, do you want to do your panel now? Like, the sirens are going off, and I don't know if the video's going to work. And I don't know. You know, maybe any other time
right.
It would be a stressful situation. But it's like, hey, I'm fucking happy. We're alive. Like, who fucking cares?
We looked at each other and we're like...
Yeah, it's like...
We're good.
The audio's going to suck, or there's going to be an annoying noise. I don't give a fuck. Hey, we're fucking alive. You know, you got to put it in perspective sometimes. It's like, dude, are we alive? Yeah, let's fucking have fun. Let's go out and just fucking do it, you know?
There was a comforting thought in, well, we know what we're going to roll along with, which we did. You know, we folded the earthquake and the whole commotion of evacuation into the panel, and that gave it this new energy. So, learning to roll, it's funny. I've had your realization, your epiphany moment as well, but it's a much weebier, nerdier explanation. There's a Cowboy Bebop episode where the guy with the plant is trying to learn from Spike about judo, and you know he wants him to be his sensei and teach him the way to flow like water, you know? And his whole character arc in that episode is like trying, you know, what Spike's explaining to him, which is kind of the theory behind the martial art of judo as well, is to just let that shit roll off your back and continue, push that energy, use it to your advantage.
Yeah.
And I always think about that episode of Cowboy Bebop when it's stuff like that. Like, let's go with the flow. Turn this around.
That's
good.
Though there's a lot of good philosophy in that show. That's why that show is good. That's why it's good.
And I think that specific episode or just that series is so broad for anime fans. It's like everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about.
You know, we were talking a moment ago about willing yourself to death. And speaking of somebody willing themselves, just they gave up and they died.
Yeah.
Daniel Johnston did pass away this week.
I heard that.
So it can be done. Dude realized he was never going to become famous and just said, I'm over this. So,
he finally gave up? That's what it was.
Yeah, he just like flew away.
He kind of did become famous.
Any Daniel Johnston fans out there in the audience? No? Well, there you go.
They're all booing you now.
Somebody said...
He became cool. He became underground famous.
I don't know who this is.
See, that's...
See?
He's so
there you go. There's the reason right there.
But that's why he died, because you don't know. He wanted to be the mainstream. He's a folky kind of artist.
Yeah, I heard of The Devil and Daniel Johnston, a documentary about underground musician. Came out in like 2005.
I only knew about this guy through Nirvana.
Yeah, Kurt Cobain.
Being obsessed with Nirvana and all the bands that inspired them, it was like, Kurt wore like a Hi, How Are You shirt in a bunch of press photos, and then I got a hold of like, what is that? What's that band? Who's this dude?
Doc Ryan in the chat just wrote, who the fuck is Daniel Johnston? exactly. That about sums it up. I just wanted to mention that. That was my way of making fun of the most recent celebrity death. But it could be debated if he's an actual celebrity or not. So
for music nerds.
That's the nature of my joke this week. This is your dose of morbid humor. Thank you.
That's all right. Backup Salmon's telling me Nirvana sucks, so... And I know you're not alone. Your brother hates Nirvana as well.
Yeah.
With a passion.
Well, we grew up just kind of not, I don't know. I was on the same page as him for a long time.
Right.
I never was into that. But I get older and I go to appreciate, like, I look at what, like, You know what I mean? I have a more of an appreciation for music history and stuff now. It's still, like, not totally my cup of tea, but I see, like, you know what I mean? Like, totally. I have respect for it. Like, okay, oh, okay, you know, and there's some songs I do like a lot. But,
they're no Deftones.
Yeah. I like. They are no I love Nirvana. The more I learn about Kurt Cobain, the more I hate him as a human.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anything that, about him.
So. Those tapes. What was that? Montage of Heck or one of these documentaries or something came out with a bunch of home video footage of him. I think we talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
He came off terrible in it. I mean, he's nodding off on drugs while holding an infant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like horrible. And it's weird having so much light shed on. Back in the MTV days when your rock stars were fucking super secretive and just mysterious, I imagine he was even more mysterious back in the 70s with like Led Zeppelin and Alice Cooper.
Who knows what they got away with.
Black Sabbath, you know, like they were these illustrious kind of elusive, mysterious lead singer, lead guitarist, like rock stars that had all this mystery to him. Maybe you got interviews in magazines. Then later on, we get MTV. We get like some interviews, some music videos. But all you know of these people is from kind of that world. But now, like, every artist is on their own social media promoting themselves. Full access.
The mask is lifted. You know what? Like, so many artists today are kind of manufactured and groomed from, like, childhood to go into the music industry.
Right.
That there's kind of like a tight leash, I feel, on a lot of musical acts. You don't just have these like country bumpkins suddenly coming into millions of dollars and then let loose. Like, I don't give a fuck. You know, like it's these people who have been kind of put through the ringer, they've been trained and brought up to be in the industry.
I hear you got to go to Nashville. If you're like a 22-year-old songwriter, Nashville's the place.
But really?
That's what I hear.
That's cool.
I feel like there's trends in music. If that's what I hear, that's last season's trend. Now it's probably back to SoundCloud, white boys with the tattoo.
Are we doing Dat Piff still?
Is he around?
Are people doing Dat Piff?
In 2014, I remember reading this article that said, I was talking about this just the other night, the only song that was a number one hit in that year that wasn't written by Ghostwriters, not the Flaming Skull Marvel hero, Ghostwriters.
Oh, shit.
Oh, the PBS show.
Yeah.
Got it.
Was Trap Queen by Fetty Wap. Which is to say,
congrats, Fetty.
He wrote that song by himself and it became a number one hit. Every other number one song that year was written by a team of people who are songwriters and then given to a performer to perform it. And it went on. It was, you know, you could say that was manufactured. You know, there's a whole team there collaborating to make this person number one. So, yeah, if you know, rappers kind of are the last bastion of people who can just write their music and kind of break through into the mainstream. But I feel like pop, rock music, that stuff, you know.
It's an industry.
You're kind of selected and chosen to be the one.
The chosen ones.
Somebody in the chat said, is he the one-eyed rapper? That sounds so cool.
He is. He only has one eye.
Ah, the one-eyed rapper.
He should just go by that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Just go by that full title.
Wait, that's
the one-eyed rapper.
What?
Fetty Wap.
No, Fetty Wap.
Oh, Fetty Wap.
Dat Piff is a site. That's not a person.
That's where you get mixtapes, right?
Yeah.
See what I know.
Hey, real quick, Derek, do we have a
sponsor?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. Okay, same as our sponsor this month, and for this podcast in particular, is Ting.com.
Yeah.
Mega64.ting.com. Go to that URL, mega64.ting.com. You'll receive $25 credit towards your first Ting account. Ting is the alternative to shitty cell phone companies.
Yeah.
They're, you know, I like Ting. They sponsor us. They're cool. But on a whole separate note, I have a personal vendetta against the whole cell phone industry. It's fucking the worst industry on earth. You're on this 2-year cycle, always got to be buying the new phone. Then you got to pay for the phone and you got to pay for data. All this bullshit. Ting is leading the revolution to topple that. See, Rocco, you're Apple cucked.
Oh, no, I don't deal with, but let me just say for the record, Apple cucked, guilty as charged.
Yeah.
But I get my stuff directly from Apple. I circumvent the phone companies in every way possible.
Buy it outright,
because
right?
They're soulless.
True.
That's why when Ting showed up at our doorstep, I was like, finally, someone trying to do justice. Yeah.
You can be Apple cucked and still enjoy Ting, because Absolutely. Ting's not out here selling cell phones.
Exactly.
No, they give you a SIM card, and then you use their service to get the data.
Yeah.
And you only pay for the data used. Now, we've talked to the guys at Ting. They're very cool. They're fans of this show. They've come flat out, and they've said, look, Ting isn't for everybody. If you're always on the road and using data like crazy, you may want to stick with your provider. But a lot of people out there are at home or at work where there's Wi-Fi. And they're using internet data. Yeah. And then they're paying for all this cell data that they're not using.
Totally.
And if you're that person, sign up with Ting. You'll save a lot of money. Or if you're, you know, in our situation where you're going to conventions a lot and you are using a shit ton of data and you're going over your plan and you're doing this piecemeal, oh, I got to add on extra data.
That's me.
Get charged up the fucking wazoo.
Dude, they get me every month.
You might want to look into Ting as well, because you only pay for the data that you use. Mega64.ting.com. Get a $25 credit. Check it out for yourself.
Hell yes. And then I want to give a shout out to guys. We brought it up before. We're gonna bring it up as a lot more as it gets closer.
Yeah.
Mega 64 Game Days is happening. Our event that we do in Anaheim, California, is happening November 9th and 10th in Anaheim. Day one is like a mini convention that we do, and then day two we're going to California Adventure.
Oh yeah.
So November 9th and 10th is when it's going down. You can go to mega64.com/gamedays for more info, and you can get tickets. All that stuff is there, but I wanted to say we announced another guest for our day one event. Dunkey, VG Dunkey, Leia, they're both coming to the show. We're doing something kind of crazy this year. Derek is going to create incredible, challenging, mind-bending new levels in Mario Maker 2.
That's right.
And Dunkey is coming to play them.
Hell yeah.
We're going to see if he can conquer them live. We have some other guests coming that are going to do this as well. We haven't announced them yet, but Dunkey is, you know, you guys saw his video online. It got millions of views where he tries to take down Derek's level.
Yep.
We're going to turn it up for
Game Days. And Dunkey, he's such a good video game player. We're going to have to find somebody equally talented to challenge him in my levels. It's going to be a little bit of a competition.
Ooh, now, some time trials.
We can't say who these guests are, but you know what? They're going to have to be pros at the game.
Okay, all
right. You know? What else could I say here? On an unrelated note, I love Subway, so who's that old mascot? Not saying who it is.
Who could that be?
You know?
You were lied to.
It has not been announced yet. We're not saying who it is. We're not saying who it is. All cards are on the table. They have not been revealed. Place your bets now. Who will challenge Dunkey?
Damn. To custom Game Days levels created by you. Wow.
Let me just say who this guest is, and we're not saying who it is, but I've been exchanging texts with them, and they're getting a little bit racy.
Can I see those later?
I don't know if we're gonna have to. I don't know if you want
to
see that.
We're gonna have to have a meeting. Shit. Anyway. Hope everyone at Game Days this year.
See you soon.
Oh, and shop.mega64.com is a great place to get all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah.
This last Friday, we put our Mega 64 socks for the first time on our online store. Our neon 64 socks. They're sold out.
That was so.
That's
fast.
It. Sold out. They're gone. But we also put up our Rainbow 64. Enamel pin that is still available, as well as a lot of other items. And one thing we like to do is our 64-hour special every week, which is a shirt that's only up for 64 hours and then it's gone.
Right.
This year is the fifth anniversary of one of our I think it's safe to say our favorite Mega 64 videos. One of them.
It's up there.
One of them, Kutaragi's Way. I can say for myself is one of the top. One of my favorite things we've ever worked on. I really enjoyed that video. It's the fifth. It's the fifth anniversary of that video. So you know what? We're doing a 64-hour special. Johnny, can you show that?
Hit him.
64-hour special Kutaragi's Way shirt celebrating the fifth anniversary of that wonderful video. I had such a great time. And our friend Jason did that logo a long time ago, and I loved it, and I'm glad it's on a shirt. This is rare territory where I'm going to wear it all the time myself, and despite feeling like a dude
that,
wearing
you that. You know, that shirt I'm not commenting on the video. Video is great. I'm talking about the quality of the shirt.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a shirt that's going to end up being funnier than you think. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Because you're going to think, oh, I like that video. All right, Kutaragi's way. You're going to wear that shirt out in public. Nobody is going to know what the fuck that shirt is. You're going to be walking down the street Kutaragi's way. What the fuck is that? Yeah. It's Kutaragi's way. It's Kutaragi's way or the highway.
I'm down with Ken Kutaragi. What the
Everybody's going to be thinking, like, what is this guy, like, who is Kutaragi and why does he have a way? It's going to be a slow burn. I'm telling you now. It makes sense to all the viewers here, and they're thinking, okay, cool video. That's just going to confuse people on the street. So be prepared for that. Yeah, that's they're going to think it's an action movie. Like they're going to think it's a band. They're going to think it's like a new religious movement.
Yeah.
Really, whatever you want to tell them, it's up to you. So grab the Kutaragi's Way shirt and, you know, let the confusion begin.
There you go. Speaking of shirts, and I'm going to pivot, but this is actually about Donkey and Leia.
Oh, yeah.
And our unannounced guest.
No. not at all. But, no, at PAX, I'm wearing this today. This is a Guiji shirt.
Ew.
Celebrating the life and legacy of Guiji.
They could have named him something else.
Yeah, they could have, but they didn't.
Yeah, no, they did the right thing. Luigi's didn't work. It wasn't going to fit. But this was on sale at... Sean has brought this up before, this subject, so I'm not going to go on and on about it. But, man, exhibitors at conventions are just real, real, like...
yeah.
A level of misery that is... You know what I mean? Like, you go to other booths, like, hey, I'm your booth neighbor.
You'd think there'd be solidarity.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And with some of the smaller booths, there are... Like, true. Hey, I'm your booth neighbor, you know, can I use that tape? Oh, absolutely, yeah. Do you want this? Oh, sure. You know what I mean?
Do you have scissors?
When it's small booths, it's like that. But, like, you go to a booth like Nintendo, and you'll just ask a question, and it's like, no, go back there, no. I'm not an attendee. I'm next to you. I just wanted to ask about that. It's okay. I went in the morning when the hall opened to the Nintendo booth, which had never had merch before. They've never sold merch at the Nintendo booth.
Right.
And I saw this Guiji shirt, and I'm like, well, damn, I need that. So I just walked up. I'm like, hey, before it opens, I'll grab that. Well, no, actually, it had just opened.
Right.
It had just opened. So I walked in, and I was like, yeah, just let me get that. I'm going to run back to my booth. And they were like, not doing exhibitors, bro. Nope, not taking it. We got to take care of the VIP badges, the attendee badges. We got. I'm the only exhibitor here. Can I just get that shirt? I'm not going to be able to come back. Can I just get that now? Nope, sorry. No, can't do it. I mean, this guy, like, went off on me for, like, 10 minutes. I'm like, it's just one shirt, and I can't get it any other time. Okay. So I just went. I just left. He kept lecturing me, and I just walked away mid-sentence. And I went back to our booth. And then Donkey and Leia came up there, and I wasn't there at the time. But they left this shirt with Sean. They were like, we saw Rocco get chewed out. And he got hosed, so we got him the shirt. We had a regular badge. So
they waited in line and got that shirt.
They were around at the right time, I guess. So cool. But anyway, how cool is that?
Yeah.
So I want to say thank you to them for that. What great people, and they're going to be guests at Game Days. I couldn't be happier.
We paid them back by inviting them to Game Days.
Yeah. They well, if not for this shirt, they might not have been invited. But you know, now they can.
Yeah.
No, cool.
It's a slow erosion of humanity at these conventions.
Right.
Yeah. You're no longer viewed as a human being. Yeah. You're only viewed as what your badge says.
And again, right. I might get it if, you know, you're dealing with stupid questions all day long. I get that. But like when you introduce yourself, you know, when you go up and it's like, hey, I'm at the booth. You know what I mean? It's like I always feel solidarity, like you said, with other booths at a convention.
Exactly.
Like, hey, I'm next door. Yeah. Could I do that? Yeah. You know, it's like you look out for each other. But then you go to some of the bigger booths and they're like, get the fuck out of here.
I talked about going to E3 this year because we were invited by Sega to film that video with the creator of Yakuza
Judgment.
And all those games.
Yeah, yeah.
Judgment, thank you. I was going to say Injustice, but I was like, that's a DC fighting game.
Yeah.
We were invited there to film with this world-famous video game developer. I mean, this is like industry stuff. And they comped us some badges, and the badges said gamer.
Yeah.
Which, why? It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to be labeled that. And I had a backpack full of lights and props and stuff for filming this video. And the whole time, getting yelled at by security. Can't bring a backpack in here. Get that backpack the hell out of here.
Yeah, they were on Derek the whole day about having a backpack.
No, I have a meeting with Sega. We're doing a film thing. Your bad, says gamer. Gamers are not allowed to have backpacks in here. Gamer, get out of here. And I just felt like this is such a pejorative. Like, stop calling me a gamer and stop treating me like I'm a criminal. Like, yeah. I was invited here. Like, yeah. You don't know who I am. Shut up. Stop calling me a gamer.
My badge said invited industry.
Oh.
So I had a badge.
You had the good one. I did. You had the golden ticket.
And yet I had to carry all the film equipment. It is bullshit.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's what bullshit. I mean, gamer, you know.
It didn't used to be this way. You used to go like on a break at Comic-Con and talk to someone at a booth and be like, hey, I'm an exhibitor down the way a little bit. I only got a couple minutes of a break right now. I wanted to see if I could come pick that thing up. And people would side with you and be like,
there used to be fucking camaraderie.
Right?
There used to be honor.
There used to be. People were like, yeah, oh, come on, dude. I got you. Yeah, no big deal. Yeah. We're just a couple of guys stuck at this convention. And now it's
rare.
Corporate overlord. Like, everybody's a fucking club bouncer nowadays. Yeah. Everybody's at the door with the clipboard. Like, you're not allowed. You're not on the list. You're not approved. I will have you arrested. Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
No exhibitors.
Hey, I normally during our podcast don't bring up or address kind of like Twitch stuff, chat stuff.
Yeah, let's do it.
But
though.
I did see something just happen.
Nova in the chat.
Yeah.
Just gifted 100 subs to other people.
In our
like
chat,
someone dropped like $500 just
now.
That's fucking extreme.
Sean should be here.
Sean's not even here.
Nova, thank you. Where's Sean?
Oh my gosh. Wow. I've never seen that before. So anyway, I save that for the after show, but the monitor was going like over there. Yeah. So I was like, what?
And I saw somebody in the chat said Death Stranding's going to have an easy mode. Maybe Derek will play that. What the fuck does that mean?
Damn.
Oh, that reminds
me. I play games hard, bro.
Damn,
fuck off.
I want to go. Actually, that brings up a good point. Talking about Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Big update with that this week, and I wanted to just. I figured we'd talk about it here. Do we have the close up camera?
Yeah, get that close up ready.
Death Stranding socks. Check those.
This is sock time, baby.
You got that? Anyway, that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about with Death Stranding this week. It's kind of a big
lot of new updates coming.
All right, I'm tired of this. I was into custom socks years before Rocco and never talked about it. And now I feel like I can't talk about it because Rocco made a point of bringing attention to his custom socks every time he bought a new pair, and he's just ruined socks for me, and I'm sure for everybody else out there. So if you agree with me, this guy just took it, put his own onus on it. I'm with you.
I'm a little jealous too, Derek, because as a collector, I know the enjoyment Rocco gets from this newfound love of collecting socks.
Yeah.
And I feel like
he acts like he's the only guy who's ever had fancy socks before, and now, you know.
He owns it. I would be biting his style if I started getting socks now.
Exactly. And he's so late to the sock game.
He's such an influencer at this point.
He's playing catch up, but he's acting like he's winning the race.
I can't.
And I just want to. I can't stand it anymore.
Don't hate me because you ain't me.
Cocky son of a
big piece of shit.
Fuck. Sorry.
You fucking piece of shit.
But there was a new Death Stranding demo this week.
50 minutes.
Well, not a demo for us to play, but at Tokyo Game Show they played through it for like 50 minutes.
Yeah, I did not watch the game.
No, we're close enough. I'm not gonna do that. I'm already playing this.
But if it's a cinematic,
I heard people watched it and said the game sucked.
No,
there you go.
You can. I saw you can like surf kind of snowboard.
They said no gameplay.
Oh, none. Damn.
Yeah. 45 minutes and nothing.
Will you watch cinematic trailers that are like directed by Kojima? Because I feel like that was such a big fun lead up to the Phantom Pain.
Not at this point though, because I will say
isn't that part of the lead up to Death Stranding?
I loved his
cinematic trailers.
I loved the cinematic trailers for Phantom Pain.
Yeah,
and then when I played Phantom Pain, I went, "Wow!" They showed me a lot. I wish I wouldn't have seen most of that. I still love the Phantom Pain, but no, I'm at the point where I'm like, no, I don't need to. I'm not watching anything else. It's not like I'm not. It's not like anything's going to make me go, I'm not going to play the new Kojima game at this point. I will say, though, I do know a lot of people that saw the 49 minutes and went like, okay, still don't really know what this is kind of thing. You know what I mean? And so yeah. I'm starting to hit a point where I'm going like, I wonder if this is going to... I'm along for the ride no matter what. But I'm starting to wonder if this is like... If this is things are going to go weird here.
I think...
Because at this point, they've shown everything.
I think people might be underwhelmed. I think initial reviews may be like, I beat it. It took 10 hours to beat. I'm underwhelmed.
It's going to be
that shit.
Because... And that's what I mean, is kind of like because it's playing this vague card so much that when people play it and they go like, yeah, it was a 10-hour story and I did it and
their
it was
expectations,
fun.
Though.
Yeah, they're picturing like some fucking new lifestyle or something.
Right.
And it might not be that. But I don't know. I'm kind of like in for whatever it is. If the game is weird and 1 hour, I'm ready for that. And also if it's 1,000 hours, I'm ready, you know. But I know everyone's different. So.
It looks to me like it's got some similarities of Phantom Pain in that you are going to be in a waiting room listening to music, selecting your loadout and tools for this outing.
Yeah.
Which is a lot like Snake sitting in the AAC helicopter, selecting his loadout, listening to music and tapes.
Yeah, and which then, was cool. I like that.
I did enjoy the meta game, especially of pulling up the iDroid, doing all the deployment. I feel like this waiting room is going to be very similar in that it'll have that meta game aspect where you're doing other things than traversing the land and like reconnecting these points. It seems like you're just hitting way stations, doing something there to reconnect a network from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Yeah.
And I think it might be as simple as that.
Yeah,
I think it might be more.
I think so, too. And again, I haven't watched this new stuff, so anyone out there, correct me if I'm wrong, but what it sounds like, ultimately, now that people have seen so much of it, like, you know, there's all the, you know, what kind of game is this? What kind of game is this?
Yeah.
It really does seem like it is kind of UPS Simulator.
Right.
You are going to places to help them make it better and give them stuff. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to like, go in here and kill this fucking guy, which
there will
sounds
be
refreshing. I mean, you're definitely, there's going to be combat.
Boss fights.
Yeah.
Crazy storyline that's steeped in science fiction to carry
great.
You along.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. But it is ultimately about like going and rebuilding and delivering as opposed to, you know,
run and gun.
Yeah.
I feel like you'll have that option because we did see some gunfire.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, the point of Metal Gear Solid is not to...
Which one you want
to
do, yeah.
You know, is not to kill, is not for violence or whatever, but that's in there.
Trank
choose to
versus...
go that way. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what to think about that.
Still getting more excited as it grows closer.
Yeah.
So close.
I think we should talk about the elephant in the room. I was supposed to be in Metal Gear Solid 5.
You did get, I think, a nod from Kojima himself that we'll put you in.
So. We made the video for Konami where I played the character Psycho Turkey,
right.
And Kojima told me he liked that character and wanted to mocap me and put me in the game.
He nodded when you asked.
Don't know why
that didn't happen.
I am available for Death Stranding.
Maybe that'll be the twist of Death Stranding, and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be meta if you're playing the game, and then you get to the last boss, and it's fucking you?
Psycho Turkey.
Actually, what if he did that using, like, camera data or something?
Oh, AR, he rebuilt.
Wouldn't
there.
That be cool if they didn't use the camera without your permission and just, like, scanned you into the game
from
or something?
Our video, yeah.
This is the one time I'm cool with the camera not you being used without my permission.
So he said that you would be in Metal Gear 5.
Well, he didn't say what game it was,
but
he's like, I really like Psycho Turkey. I want to motion capture that, put that in a game. And then Metal Gear 5 came out with all these, you know, Sleepy Hippo, Angry Velociraptor, you know, Psycho Turkey
Psycho Turkey would have fit right in, damn it.
I didn't see. I've searched every nook and cranny of that game. I did not find Psycho Turkey.
Yeah, I know.
Not every nook and cranny, John.
Ooh. Hey, I went to, I was up with some friends in Los Angeles yesterday, Hollyweird.
Wow.
And had a chance to stop by the Tim Burton themed bar.
What? I didn't know anything about this.
Beetle Room.
Oh, wait. Is that with the Beetlejuice stuff in it and stuff like that?
Or? Well, it's Tim Burton themed.
So you got Beetlejuice, you got...
I feel like that's the only thing
else?
I've seen.
Nightmare Before Christmas,
Edward Scissorhands, Alice in Wonderland, Pee-wee's
Big Adventure.
You know, it's all Tim Burton themed shit. Hey, you ever wonder where Hot Topic people go to die when they're too old to go to the mall. They fucking hang out in Beetle Room.
That's gross.
I went in there with Johnny was there with me my girlfriend Joy. All three of us were hanging out, and Johnny said it best. He's like, "I don't usually say this, but you ever felt like you're the coolest person in the room?"
Oh, no.
I think we all felt that hanging out in the Tim Burton-themed bar. Everybody was like, all the women there were like pinup, dressed like pinup models, but with like black and white striped shit. It all looked like they were cosplaying like Tim Burton extras.
They probably were getting
it's
into
taking
it.
Me back to like.
And then the bar is like has this soundtrack of like, "Hey, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana. Oh, nice. Daylight come and me one go home." And all the drinks are literally like filled with candy. And it's like they're called like "This is Halloween." Oh. And Edward Lemonade Hands or whatever. It was like kind of cool walking up because you wait in line, like getting into a nightclub, and then they like click you in and they're like, "All right, follow me, I'll escort you." And they take you down this long hallway. It's like, "Lost souls entering purgatory. Welcome." And then they put you in this small, like little library room. And some guy like says some other like spooky shit. And then he pulls on a book and opens up a bookshelf, and it's a secret entrance into the bar.
Really?
That was cool.
Okay, yeah. Cause I was gonna say, everything you've described so far has sounded great. Like the entrance in it. Like so far, you've told me there was weird secret entrances, weird rooms. It was a bunch of girls there and candy. Like this is all you've described so far. So what sucked about it? What was so bad about it? This sounds great.
Yeah, this is all the first 5 minutes.
Okay.
Then you're just
so you stayed too long.
Then you're just in a bar with like, "Oh, there's a Jack Skellington doll on the wall."
Okay. And all these people,
this guy's dressed like the Mad Hatter. He's walking around asking if you want to pay $15 for a drink. They have a little person dressed up as Chucky wearing, and I'm sorry, it's Child's Play, Tim Burton movie. No. I couldn't figure that out. He's walking around taking like
that's my favorite Tim Burton movie.
Selfies with everybody.
Why not Oompa Loompa from the Willy Wonka remake?
Why not?
What the fuck,
I
guys?
Don't fucking know. No, it's really just like you're in there and everybody just has this air of like Tim Burton is God. It really is like, Hot Topic.
Spencer's Gifts.
Yeah, hey, I know what you mean.
It's all the people that really fucking think it's cool when the Disneyland Haunted Mansion becomes Nightmare Before Christmas themed. That's the vibe in there. You ever meet somebody and you're like, "I like it better when it's Nightmare Before Christmas themed because I oogie boogie." It's like it's all those people getting drunk. And so you're like, "Hey, cool entrance. I'm ready to get the fuck out of here."
Derek, you don't even know what force that is. In like every now and then I'll talk to somebody and they'll drop that on me, and it's real hard to continue that conversation. It's like, oh, you like Disney? Oh, yeah, I do. And then they'll be like, "Oh, you must love when it becomes Nightmare Before Christmas." I'm like, I don't know. And they'll be like, "Well, that's like the better version." I mean, you can't put a wall up in my mind. I just start going, last door's closed. But I've known about, I think, two people that have said that.
So, go to the Beetle House in Beetlejuice, Beetle House in Los Angeles, and that's where the rest of that crew hangs out. Because, walking in, I was like, "This is pretty cool. This is like a themed bar. I like Tim Burton." And then the longer I sat there, I was like, I don't want to be around these people anymore. This is just like, I'm dying on the inside a little bit.
I do want to say, when they do that, sorry, I'm still on this, when they change the Haunted Mansion to Nightmare Before Christmas.
Sure.
I do enjoy that once. Like when they do, you know what I mean? Like when they first do it, because I like that. I do like that movie, and I'll go on it and I'll be like, "Yeah, cute." And then it's like, change it the fuck back. It's a lesser version, but then it stays there for like 4 months. So anyway,
they should do.
I like the Haunted Mansion. It's its own entity. Like I buy into the story of this mansion is haunted and these are the ghosts. There is no Haunted Mansion in the Nightmare Before Christmas. So you throw that in there and it's like, well, now you're just slapping two unrelated things together.
And didn't I think Tim Burton said that when he finally went on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He said like he didn't have like a great review. Maybe I'm remembering that wrong. Yeah. But I think he said that. He's like, "Yeah, they just kind of slapped all that stuff on one of my favorite rides. Like, he didn't really, you know, he wasn't like, oh, it's an honor. It was like, yeah, kind of.
By the way, I'm pretty sure this bar, the Tim Burton theme bar, it has nothing to do with him.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's like unofficial. So it's all like fan stuff.
Yeah.
And then we went to, this was on Hollywood Boulevard. It was a, it was basically Mos Eisley Cantina. It's a Star Wars themed bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Scum and Villainy.
Yeah. It's half, well, I would say it's 95% Star Wars themed, and then one wall that looks like the control panel of Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
So what? It's both. It's just like a nerdy themed bar.
Yeah.
But
you tainted it with the Star Trek stuff.
I disagree.
Oh.
I was hanging out in the Star Trek section. I thought that was the cool section.
Wow, okay.
The Mos Eisley part kind of smelled like BO. But
it was an alien.
It's supposed to be, it's Scum and Villainy.
That's right. And a lot of scum.
Chewbacca probably has bad odor.
I'm going to come right out with it. They have blue milk.
Oh.
They serve the blue milk. They and the guy at the door actually told me, he's this big bouncer guy. He came over. He's like, yeah, you know the difference between our blue milk and the one at Disneyland? Ours will get you drunk.
Oh no. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice selling point. They also had a drink called Master Chief.
Okay.
Hmm. Nice.
My favorite Star Wars
character. Yeah.
They had
tastes like Mountain Dew.
I believe they had chicken strips called like alien chest burster chicken strips.
That's a reach.
Oh, they're going for all of it.
It's,
oh, man.
Yeah, it's
they're
all encompassing. It all. They had, you know, they have a Loki drink. They have they have a, you know, Worship Me Furiosa drink, oh whatever. God. It's all nerd culture. But it actually did look like the inside of Mos Eisley Cantina.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
It was pretty cool.
That's cool.
So nice. You know, I checked out a couple themed bars last night in LA.
That's kind of
cool. Had a good time.
Yeah. I've been, I haven't been to that one. I've been to the cantina that was actually in Galaxy's Edge or whatever.
You
and
get
I don't
drunk
think,
in there, right?
I don't. Yeah, I got real drunk. I got.
But they do serve alcohol?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the one place in Disneyland now that can do that.
Does.
That isn't like Club 33. But I did have to get a. There was like, they have a mug there that is like carved. It looks like it's carved by Ewoks.
Okay.
Like, it's like the last part of Return of the Jedi where like they're celebrating and there's fireworks. It's like they carved that out of a thing.
Yep.
But the only way to get that was this thing with like rum in it or whatever. And I was like, all right, fine. I have to do that. Okay.
So you got fucked
and
up.
And I had, yeah. Oh my God, dude. I was so.
You chose the dark side.
I had
of
two
force.
Sips and gave the drink away to someone
hey,
else.
You know what? I posted on my Instagram a picture inside that bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's one comment. It wasn't a negative comment by any means. It was a positive comment, mm-hmm. but it really stuck in my craw.
Okay.
It was, the comment just said, Derek getting his drink on. And for whatever reason, like, there was no like.
Getting his drink.
There was no picture of alcohol anywhere in the photo.
You just hit a bar.
It's like the Star Trek Command Center, and it's just like, hey, I'm here. Beam us out. Derek getting his drink on. I'm still thinking about this fucking comment, and I'm sorry if you're watching and I'm calling you out, but it just struck me as like the most Michael Scott comment, like just somebody wanting to be involved and like rub elbows. Yeah, having some booze. Let the party get started. I mean, Derek getting his drink on.
It looks like you're on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. How'd they even know it's a bar?
I don't. Well, I said I'm in a Star Trek themed bar.
Oh, okay.
I said the word bar. I don't. For whatever reason, it was just like, you don't know what I'm doing. I could be having the alien chest burster chicken strips up in here.
True.
It's very presumptuous.
Could be recovering and having a seltzer.
So,
club
somebody,
soda.
I'm sure they're watching because they had the number 64 in their screen name.
So
they're probably a huge fan.
Somebody. Fuck.
Thanks for the like and comment.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Someone in the chat said, leave it to Rocco to get the fucking $15. Star Wars drink and get and not want the alcohol. I want to just correct that. It was 30. Well, because you keep it comes in a giant thing and you keep it
ceramic.
Yeah,
it
wasn't just a drink.
They had tiki mug drinks at the Scum and Villainy, but they were $15.
That's a big. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's Disney.
It's
so
Disney.
Why would it be less
marco?
That's a big thing now. Is every bar has like some custom tiki mug thing
merch.
Yeah, I remember they started doing that at Trader Sam's right outside of Disneyland on the hotel property, and it blew up. Those mugs go like crazy, and now I feel like every place does that. But about your comment, though, on that picture, what that reminds me of, that I remember it was a comment. There was a picture of you at a bar a long time ago and there was a comment that got under my skin. It was about you. And okay. I still think about this, and Garrett will remember it too, I think.
Oh, yeah?
When we all went to some party, I'm not going to name names. I don't okay. even know if they'll watch this, oh. if they watch this anymore.
Dude, I do
but,
know.
But some fan took a picture at a bar.
Yeah.
And they kept commenting, dude, Derek's so fucked up in this photo. Dude, Derek, I don't think he even remembers this photo. And it was like, we just got off a plane and walked into this bar. Couldn't have been more stone cold sober. Yeah. We were on a plane 10 minutes before the photo was taken.
Yeah.
And he took a picture with us and just kept commenting.
These
dude,
guys
Derek's not
are
even
wasted.
Gonna remember. Derek was so wasted when I took this. I don't even know if he remembers this photo. I remember that comment being on there, and I was just like, what the fuck are you doing?
I know,
like,
that guy's projecting it onto me.
He wants you to be super fucked up.
I know you guys don't partake in alcohol, but I have a drink every... I mean, I got no problem with drinking every once in a while, but I don't get messy or sloppy.
No, yeah, I've never seen you like
that. That just doesn't happen to me. Even when I feel the effects of alcohol, like I'm a little tipsy, if anything, I just get quiet, you know? Yeah. I'll just sit there and be like, I'll let you know, like, yeah.
And I've only seen Sean sloppy once when we did the wine on
that Christmas cast.
And that's it.
The only thing I could say comparable to that at all, he wasn't, like, it really wasn't, there was one GDC... where I think maybe when we were going to show the Miyamoto video, and I think he was real nervous. And again, we were all much younger at that time, and there was absolutely free alcohol everywhere.
Yeah, open
so
bar.
I think he had a lot because I remember and but he wasn't like acting like an idiot or anything. No. But there was one point where he talked. he kept asking, "Should I pee? Should I pee now?" That was we have a running joke with Sean.
That was that day.
It's a running joke because they were waiting for our video to play in front of, again, this is in front of the whole game industry. There was like 6,000 people there, or however many. And he kept going, "I have to pee. Should I go now? You think they're gonna play the video now? Should I go now? Should I go now? Sean, I don't fucking know when you can go. I don't know when they're gonna play it. Okay, so you think I should pee now? You think so?" Every year since that, we kept going, Sean, can I pee? Sean, I gotta take a shit. Should I go now?
Like
that became a running joke. Whatever. But he was talking. He was having an honest conversation with the DJ that year. There was always a DJ that would play in and out the awards and stuff like that. And Sean was telling him about making the video. Yeah, we worked so hard on the video, and then we did all this, and then we don't even know how it's going to play. And we got the creator Mario, and we don't. And and we're all just really nervous how it's going to go. And then the DJ patted him on the back, like, "Yeah, well, good luck with everything. All right, see ya," and walked away. And Sean went.
I remember this.
And it was like, Sean, is everything okay? Like, the DJ sounded encouraging. Why are you, you look upset about what he said. He gave me that "you're drunk" pat.
And that was Sean aware of it.
He patted me on the back. Yeah. He patted Sean on the back, and he's like, he gave me that pat where it's like, buddy, you're drunk.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Sean, I remember that. He's like, and I think Sean was drunk, maybe, but he's like, "I know that fucking pat. Yeah. I give you that pat. I don't get that pat. I give that to you when you're drunk."
Sean was just defeated after that. He's like, "I know what that pat means.
I'm gonna
sit down. And I'm okay. You know. Anyway." That always made
Cut
me laugh.
Me off,
but
guys.
That's the worst I can say. And that wasn't even, you know, whatever. It was nothing. But that's the worst I can say.
Well, the Christmas cast was like for entertainment, which is
fantastic. Yeah. And that was for entertainment. But he never did that again.
No. He can't even
do it. We got to get him to do it again. You know?
But yeah, Derek, I've never seen you even that in those sorts as we've seen Sean.
I'll tell you, too. I was in college once. I used to drink. You know, go to parties,
get
crazy.
Slammered.
I had situations where I was so drunk I had to puke.
Oh yeah.
And even in those moments, I'm very like clear. And I've had these times where I'm telling people like, "Hey, I'm gonna go to the bathroom now because I need to throw up because I drink too much. All right, well, let everybody know I'm throwing up now." People are like, "Are you okay?" Be like, "No, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I'm just here puking. All right." So it's never like I'm like, "Oh, what's going on?" Oh, it's clear communication no matter what. Even when I'm barfing.
I think you handle
it's been a couple of years since I've had
you can hold your liquor the best out
one
of
those
the group.
Situations. So there you go. That's so it's bullshit to say I was wasted, okay, bro.
But again, we've got it too. I mean, we've told that story a thousand times. Oh, but yeah. that one guy in the elevator with us at PAX, specifically me and Garrett. You guys are so wasted. You're not even gonna. I gave you my name earlier, but you're not gonna remember it. I mean, you're so wasted. It's like the two most fucking stone cold sober people. I've literally never been drunk in my entire life. Standing there, like, I don't even remember what.
Anytime we would go to a industry party at a con, which we used to go to a lot more back when it was like fresh and new for us.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, always open bar at these.
Yeah.
Or at least it used to be. But yeah, we would just be getting a Coke or a seltzer water or something.
Yeah.
And dancing our asses off.
Yeah.
And filming stuff for, you know, whatever. But people would always come up to us afterwards. You guys must be so fucking drunk.
Like, yeah.
Man, you guys aren't feeling anything.
Party animals, man.
Blah. Out there dancing, getting the floor going. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, if you're dancing, cheers, people mate. Just assume you're wasted.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny because we went to so many of those industry parties.
Yeah.
And it was always a dance party.
Right.
There was a time where I felt like, I don't really know like how to dance. I feel out of place at these parties. And there was a moment a few years ago where I watched a series of YouTube videos on how to dance.
Oh my gosh.
Specifically,
really?
So I would like know what to do in those situations. Yeah. And now it's like, yeah, let's go get the party started. And people just assume we're fucking wasted. Yeah, it's like, hey, I trained for this moment.
Yeah, he's ready.
You don't know how many hours I put in to prepare for this.
Yeah, we would start dances at so many of these industry parties. I remember being at the Valve party in like 2010 or something like that. And it was people standing around and we just started fucking dancing like crazy in the middle of the room. And again, it was that same thing where it was like, dude, these couple drunk guys got the party started. And it was like,
thanks for coming.
And it was
man.
Like me and Sean and I had a Diet Coke that night. I mean, it was like, it's just like, no, you just got to fucking go. And then I remember after that night thinking, cause the dancing didn't stop the rest of the night. After we started it, right. And I remember specifically after that Valve party, we talked. I think it was it Eric that said this? Somebody was like, "Dude, people should pay us to just show up to these parties,
party
and
starters,
get it going."
Yeah,
like we're not like out of control. Like we were very. There was precision in what we did.
Right.
Like we looked around and went, "There should be dancing." Okay, well, start. No. All right, there was dancing the next 6 hours.
These companies would hire a DJ who's sitting there playing to a bunch of people standing around talking.
Yeah.
No one was moving, so you got to change all that.
And someone brought this up in the chat, but if you want to hear the most awkward story of like, again, I don't drink. If you want to hear the most awkward story of turning down drinks that had been
bought for us,
bought for me, I'm going to speak for myself and say there was a point in my life when strippers brought me drinks and I had to go, no, goodbye. Watch the East Coast story. I think it's the Philly story or something on our archive channel. I told the whole story there. So go look that up. Mega 64 Archives channel. Philly story.
I always feel bad that's happened at these industry things. Someone comes over with a plate full of shots and hands me one. I'm like, who wants mine?
That happened. We went to a meeting once and it was at, I didn't realize, I don't go to breweries. I don't know anything about it. So we got invited to one that once. We had a meeting with a game company and they brought us there. And I'm thinking like, whatever, I don't need to drink. They have food, right?
Nope.
This one did not. It was like they just kept bringing us flights of like, here's 10 different beers from different continents. And they kept bringing us that. And I'm like, yeah, sorry.
I think that was my first time ever going to a brewery as well.
Yeah.
And
we both thought we were eating.
It was a business meeting. And they're like, you guys want to get a flight? I didn't know what the fuck a flight was.
I didn't know either.
Like, sure. Okay. Yeah. They bring over like five beers. And I'm like, I'm sorry. What are we doing? And it's like,
you're
all right. So let's
waste it.
Let's talk about this game. Everybody starts drinking, and it's like, okay, weird. I hope we can finish this conversation. But yeah, I felt like, those guys were so wasted. They probably don't even remember that meeting.
No, it was a good meeting, but I felt really bad because they got them for me, and I'm like,
nope.
Yeah, no thanks.
It's funny,
but
though, like,
I think they enjoyed. I mean, everyone else drank what I got, so it was, you know, whatever.
Whether we partake or not, alcohol is still super ingrained in, like, nightlife and, you know, business, I guess, like, casual business meetings, stuff like that. It just seems to always be an after-hours.
You know what's funny?
Thing.
Now I'm on your guys' level because I'm trying to get fit. I'm trying to watch
the calories.
The calories.
Okay.
Sure.
I don't want to drink alcohol because
empty calories.
You know, it tends to make you fat, and I want to get. I'm doing. You know, I'm trying to turn myself into the Rock, basically.
Oh,
so recently,
yeah.
I've been going to bars and getting just a seltzer or
seltzer
water.
That's my trick too.
And they give it to you in a large glass.
Club
and people
soda.
Have been thinking they actually think I'm partying way harder now because. You know, a regular cocktail comes in a tumbler or whatever, and a seltzer comes in a glass twice as big. So people are like, whoa, you getting a double? They think I'm getting like two drinks in one. And they just assume I'm getting fucking wasted. So the drinks are free, and then people
want
to party with me because they think I'm like a huge. They're like, how are you handling all these booze? Like, I can't tell you what my trick is.
Never reveal your secrets. Hey, speaking of flights, we talked about flights. You didn't know what that was. Well, now I do. Going back to Galaxy's Edge, the cantina.
Oh, what?
You can order a flight there that has a bunch of different booze in it, and they serve it to you. It's a rack of Rancor's teeth. Like,
oh
they hollowed out the teeth, and the drinks are in there.
You get to keep them?
Yeah. Oh, hell yes,
you get
do.
To keep
what's
them?
That, like $100?
I think it is literally.
Oh,
I think you actually guessed it.
That sounds about right.
It might be 70.
Okay.
But it's you get a pretty nice – it actually sold out because it was a pretty nice –
it's a hot item.
Jesus Christ.
But, you know, I like to get those custom mugs and stuff, but what am I going to – I'm not going to use a bunch of teeth. You know what I mean? But it was cool, like, in theory.
Right.
But. When you're drunk in Disneyland, you'll buy anything.
Yeah. See, there you go.
They
know. It is. People are saying in the chat it's 100, so I think you might have nailed
100. Wow.
This podcast is running long. We're going to wrap it up. I think there's some movie stuff I want to talk about.
Yeah,
maybe we'll do a short after show, but, and I don't want to end this on a downer, but I'm going to, because a friend of ours fell into some medical calamity.
Yeah.
And I want to bring it up because sadly, they started a GoFundMe to pay for their medical bills.
Yeah.
Now, everybody out there watching, you don't know who this person is, but you will.
You will.
Eventually, because this guy is an actor, friend of ours, who played the villain in the forthcoming feature length blockbuster Mega 64 version 4.
Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Yes, version 4 is coming out. Oh, what? Did you want to say something?
Oh, no. I was just going to say we've known him for a long time, and we were working on version 4.1 with him.
Yeah.
And this was super heartbreaking. This was a really, it really sucked that this happened. And but we want to help him in every way we can. And again, I wish everyone out there had seen this and they would have
you'd already know
the connection that we have with him. You know,
right.
He's
so
incredible. He
this is our
work.
Friend Travis. You know, Eric and I did commentary for a local wrestling promotion called Super Awesome Showdown. Travis was a wrestler in that promotion. That's how we met him. He's a great guy. He got this freak. We don't even need to go into it, but freak medical condition that, you know, really, knocked him on his ass. Like it's pretty serious thing. We won't go into it, but there is a GoFundMe to help him pay for these medical bills.
Yeah.
It was a modest GoFundMe. We're going to put the link in the description of this podcast because you know what these links, it's so like, it's 100 letters long.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not going to put it up live.
If you watch this on YouTube, just look down in the info and it'll be there. And,
yeah, look in the info, click the link, help Travis, you know, recover. You can maybe read the story of what happened to him if you really want to know. They have asked for a certain amount, and I think they might even be close to reaching that goal. But this guy can use all the help he can get. He's a dear friend of ours.
He's
so
push it over for sure.
You know, if you could find it in your heart to help him out, please do so. So check out that GoFundMe. Help our friend Travis. Aid him in a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
We really care about him. He's a dear friend of us. And you're going to see his performance in version 4.
Oh, yeah.
When it's released. And then you're going to fall in love with him as well. So I just wanted to mention that and throw that out there.
Yeah.
And we are at the end of this podcast.
Yeah. Any other last stuff?
Good. I'm content for after show discussion.
So stick around for the after show. I've been watching a bunch of horror movies that I want to talk about.
Ooh.
I have some movie stuff I want to bring up too. So be sure. And if you're watching this on YouTube, every week when the podcast goes up, there is an after show. And that's up on our archives channel. Check out the after show. That's a little more loose of a show. You know, because some people might not know our routine here. We don't ever talk about it. But it's a little more loose. We kind of just shoot the shit about whatever. Sometimes we take calls. Sometimes we open stuff from our P.O. box. You can, yeah, every week that goes up there too. And it's just kind of a free form, no real plan thing. So check that out every week. And thank you all, as always, for tuning in. And we always appreciate your support. Everyone here does. And, you know, I didn't mean to make this a sappy ending.
No, but bonus shows, remember, like our Friday the 13th full moon stream. Yeah. Go up on the Archives channel as well as the PPS every Wednesday. So, yeah, thank you for subscribing. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, wait. I want to say thank you to, again, no thank you. Sean and Kevin.
No thanks to
despite good or bad things we said.
Right.
They dropped the fucking ball. There's no way to get around it. So
let's
just, call it what it is. They're gone, but in their place, we had, today, by the skin of our teeth, we got a new crew trained and ready to go. I want to say thank you to Johnny, who has been on the control deck. You know, he's doing the cutting, doing the editing.
I don't know if he has.
You
want
to do like some quick cuts to show like you're alive? Okay, so there he is. That's him communicating to us through Morse code. Hopefully, he said something good.
Yeah.
Sean, put a translation on the bottom of the screen to tell us what Johnny said. But anyway, Johnny's doing a great job. Johnny on the spot,
Johnny,
thing to say.
Good stuff.
And then we got Julian on camera today. Julian is an effects wizard. You're gonna know his name very soon too. You're gonna see some effects in some upcoming stuff that you're gonna go, oh, these guys worked with Industrial Light and Magic. That's cool. One man army named Julian.
Yep.
You're gonna know his name very well soon.
We got the two J's on.
He's
the spot.
On camera. Tell us, let us know in the comments, was he better than Kevin? Because Kevin is, let's just say, he's not he's not in the good books.
Looks a little more dynamic today.
Yeah, I'd say a little more.
A little more dynamic of some movement. So great job, Julian. Good
job. Thank you guys very much. All right, now we're going to end the podcast. Johnny, stop the recording, but keep the stream on.